Thanks for joining me on the call. Today we're announcing our Wall Street Bonus Report, an annual report of the Comptroller's Office where we estimate the size of the cash bonus pool paid to securities industry employees working in the city of New York. These bonuses reflect cash awards and deferred compensation that has been recognized. In 2010, these bonuses totaled $20.8 billion, about one-third less than what was paid out in 2007 before the financial crisis, and nearly 8% less than last year. This decline reflects changes adopted by the financial industry in response to regulatory reforms, such as a shift toward deferred compensation and higher base salaries. The average bonus declined slightly faster by 9%, and that reflects the fact that employment was slightly up at the end of last year. Wall Street profits totaled $27.6 billion in 2010, second only to 2009 when the industry greatly benefited from federal bailout money and historically low interest rates. We are interpreting this estimate as a sign that while cash bonuses are down, it is not an indication that Wall Street is weakened. In fact, it is simply recognition of the change in compensation practices following the financial meltdown. What we saw in the past, where short-term gains were rewarded at the expense of long-term profitability, has been modified to fit this new environment. While the emphasis on deferred compensation will hold our tax collections down in New York State and New York City this year, the state and city will benefit in coming years when the taxes are paid out on this deferred compensation. Overall, I believe a more stable and less volatile securities industry is in the best interest of Wall Street, the city, and the state. It's important to note that while the cash bonus pool has declined, we estimate overall compensation has grown. We look at the financial statements for selected securities firms, which show that total compensation, that's base salaries and bonuses, both deferred and cash, rose by 6% in 2010. Let me just mention a little bit about our methodology. The estimate is derived from an examination of financial statements from a sampling of large and smaller security firms, conversations with firm representatives, historical wage data for the industry as reported by the State Department of Labor, and an analysis of personal income tax withholding trends in the current year during the traditional bonus season. The Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association is the trade organization for firms who have a seat on the New York State on the New York Stock Exchange. SIFMA and the New York Stock Exchange report profits for the broker-dealer operations of the 225 exchange members. That is the traditional way to view a measure of the industry's performance. The broker-dealer operations of New York Stock Exchange member firms earned $27.6 billion in 2010. While less than half of the record $61.4 billion earned in 2009, it's the second highest year on record since we've been doing these reports. Preliminary data show that employment declines in New York City's securities industry ended in about August of 2010 with losses that reached over 30,000 jobs. This represents a decline of 16% or 3.5 times the rate of total job loss in New York City. Between August and December of 2010, Wall Street added about 3,600 jobs. A comparison of the preliminary monthly employment data with employment covered by New York State unemployment insurance law suggests that the industry may have realized stronger job gains even than those we've identified in 2010. There will be revised employment data released in March this year where we'll have a better handle on those numbers. Wall Street has been changing its compensation practices in response to the financial crisis and the subsequent financial reforms. In general, the securities industry has sought to reduce incentives for excessive risk-taking by raising base pay levels, reducing the cash component of bonuses, and by deferring a greater portion of bonuses in the form of stock options and other forms of deferred compensation. Another dynamic that we're seeing is the extension of the bonus season. Bonuses traditionally have been paid from December through the following February. Last year, looking at the 09 numbers, the bonus season was extended as firms delayed payments. Our conjecture is that this was in response to the emerging new regulatory framework. Bonus payments appear to have stretched into March and even in April. As a result of the extended bonus season from 09, we now estimate that the cash bonuses and recognized deferred comp paid to securities industry employees in New York City rose by 27% last year. And I point that out because that's higher than what was our initial estimate of an increase of 17%. Payment patterns seem to indicate that the timing of bonuses has shifted back now to the earlier, more traditional periods. As a result, we believe that bonus payments in March of this year will be minimal, and we do not expect any in April. This is consistent with assumptions that have been made on the state level and the city level with the respective budget divisions. Overall, the broker-dealer operations of New York Stock Exchange member firms devoted nearly 47% of their revenues to compensation during 2010. This is in line with historical shares before the financial crisis, but it is much higher than the 2009 share of about 36%. Wages paid to workers in the securities industry in New York City during the first half of 2010 were 21.9% higher compared with the prior year, reflecting cash bonuses paid during the first quarter of 2010 for 2009 activities, higher base salaries, and deferred compensation that was realized during that period. From a tax collection standpoint, our estimate of the cash bonus pool appears to be in line with the assumptions in the state and city financial plans. Consequently, we do not believe there is a budgetary risk. Many Wall Street firms have begun to pay bonuses to their top executives again after several years of reduced or eliminated bonuses. Most of these awards are in the form of deferred compensation. Before the start of the financial crisis, banking and personal income tax collections from Wall Street-related activities accounted for up to 20% of New York State revenues. That contribution has declined, we estimate, to approximately 13% in the current year. Wall Street's contribution to the city's budget has declined from about 13% of city tax revenues to approximately 7%. Wall Street accounted for nearly 20% of the wages paid to workers in New York City in 2009, even though it accounted for less than 5% of the jobs. So it still is obviously a very, very important part of our economy, of the economic engine for the state. I appreciate your listening to the highlights of our report, and I'd be happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be announced prior to asking the question. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Once again, star 1 if you would like to ask a question. One moment for the first question. Our first question comes from Jimmy Vielkind. Your line is open.
Hello, Comptroller. How are you?
Jimmy, how are you today?
Quite well. What is this going to do for the budget? Are we going to be seeing more revenue than we had booked or less revenue than we had booked?
Actually, between those two points, we're going to see pretty much on target what was anticipated. Obviously, you know, we've been monitoring this. The Division of Budget has been monitoring this situation since the meltdown and the restructuring of how bonuses were being paid out. So these numbers are actually consistent with the plan. So the good news is it doesn't make our current challenging budget situation more difficult. On the other hand, there's no windfall that's going to make the budget decisions any easier.
And in the past, there's been talk about bonus taxes. Right now, we're talking about the millionaires tax, so-called. Do the fact that there's less of a cash bonus pool kind of affect the projections for what that tax might generate or what a bonus tax might generate?
Well, I certainly think it has to be recognized that this industry has two things. First, return to profitability. You know, we see, based on the broker-dealer profits, 2010 being, you know, the second best year of the many years that we've been tracking this, but that you're seeing the compensation continuing to be restructured, and you know, whereas in some of the years prior to the meltdown, you would often at this time of year see an unexpected windfall. And that was, I think, part of what drove some of the spending decisions, at budget time, because you get these big numbers coming in at bonus season. That's just not going to be the case anymore. So, to the extent that there's profitability and there's still a bonuses, because the payments are going to be paid on over time, because they're going to be in deferred form in terms of stock options and so on, the bonuses that are being awarded now will not be realized from an income point of view or from a tax revenue point of view until a number of years down the road. So I think we just have to recognize that we have a restructured industry in terms of how this money is being paid out. And I think the good news of that is that the restructured compensation structure is meant to reduce risk-taking, or I should say unnecessary risk-taking. So, the message is, and this is, I think, anticipating what's happening with the financial reforms, the regulatory reforms coming in, that what we want is sustainable long-term profitability. From a revenue perspective for the state, to have a more predictable level of profitability, even if in the short run there may be less of it than we've had in the past, the benefit is that you don't have the peaks and valleys that we went through over the past decade, which made projecting budget numbers very, very difficult. So, again, because the numbers that we're seeing are in line with what Division of Budget have been projecting, it's a neutral impact in terms of where we're at right now with our budget process.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Glenn Blaine of the New York Daily News.
Good afternoon, Mr. Controller.
How are you?
Following up on what Jimmy just asked, you were talking about the bonus pool is right in line with projections for the 2010-11 budget, but in terms of the projections in the 11-12 budget that the governor has produced, how do you see those revenue projections now based on what you're seeing in this bonus pool report?
I haven't looked at that, and obviously we do this report on an annual basis. We don't project out a bonus pool, beyond 1 year at a time. I think it would be too early to project for next year. We're just getting this year out.
But does it make you, in terms of the revenue projections contained in the governor's budget, does this make you feel that maybe those are right on, that they're overly optimistic, or is there...
For the coming year, I the impact is that I think they're right on. In terms of the out years of the financial plan, I can't give you an evaluation of that.
Thank you, Control.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Liz Moyer from Dow Jones.
Hi, Mr. Controller.
Hi, Liz. How are you today?
Pretty good, thanks. Can you break down in dollar terms for us how much the bonus pool boosted state and then city revenues, tax revenues?
Well, we can get back to you with that.
Okay.
I don't have that in front of me, but we can get back. Staff can get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. And the next question comes from Joe Spector of Gannett.
Hi, Controller.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Good. Two questions here. One, you say that the amount of revenue that the state received went from 20% of its overall revenue to 13%, but yet the bonus pool is up second highest ever. Is that attributable to just the fewer number of employees in the industry and just the overall, the smaller amount of the industry?
It's a combination that some don't forget too. They had big losses that had tax consequences that in the short run reduced the revenue to the state. So it's factoring in employment, it's factoring in bonuses, it's factoring in business profits, it's factoring in the offsets of the the mammoth losses they had, which over time has an impact. And obviously the fact that they've come back, speaking in a broad context, the industry came back probably more robustly and quicker than some folks had thought. that is going to continue to hopefully turn around in terms of greater contribution, in terms of the percent of revenues generated. But, you know, they're still working out some of the tax consequences of the big losses they had a couple of years ago.
That's why it shrunk from 20 to 13?
That's part of it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then you talk about that wages are up. Do you have any what the average is per employee?
Well, it's hard to count. We do have an average for the bonus.
Yeah.
Which we put it at for 2010 at $128,530. Now, obviously, some are going to be higher, some are going to be lower. That's purely a calculation. It's an average. It's not the median. It is what it is. That's the average figure that we calculate. And that average is down, somewhat compared to last year when we saw the average at close to 141,000.
But how about the number on wages, though? You say it's 21.9% higher compared to the prior year. Any numbers on that?
We don't have a specific. What we do in terms of getting the approximation of about 6% increase in compensation is we do a sampling of what have been representative firms based on our past data, and we then extrapolate from that a percentage figure. So we don't have a hard number to give you a breakdown, but we estimate total compensation, that'd be wages as well as the bonus piece, would be about 6% increase.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Kevin Lenke of WOR Radio.
This is Giannelli. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Really quick, just a quick question is, since the reformers got their way with deferred payments and stock options, is that hurting the tax revenue?
Well, if you look at it from the perspective that in the short run it makes the cash bonus pool smaller, that obviously has an impact. But if you look at it from the longer view, which I think is the preferable way to look at it, if this promotes greater profits at a sustained level and a more predictable level, from my point of view, that's preferable to the kinds of peaks and valleys that we've had over the past few years, where in the years where you see the bonus pool growing and the revenue growing, we come to think that it's going to last forever and only get higher, and then you have the numbers go way down as we had in 08 with the meltdown, and we had made spending commitments that were locked into a revenue expectation that just wasn't there. So I think from the point of view of planning and trying to manage state finances on an ongoing basis and a long term basis, reducing risk and sustaining profitability in a consistent way over multiple years is preferable to having a huge infusion of money and then the house of cards comes down and you don't have the money, and yet you've already made commitments on spending that you can't keep up with, and that's really a lot of what happened over the past few years. So I think long term this is good for the industry, and I think it's also good in terms of New York projecting revenues. If we keep Wall Street healthy and the profits are sustainable and steady, I think that's a good foundation upon which we can make our projections that will help us deal with our budget moving forward.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, I show no further questions.
Okay, thanks to everyone. I appreciate your listening in.